Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
It's Daner and Jay.
Today's episode here, that podcast, Growlin', is presented by Visa, a network working for everyone. Paul Daner Jr., Jay Morrison of The Athletic, here on the walkout, working for you on a day when the Cincinnati Bengals, in overtime, beat the Kansas City Chiefs 27-24. To win the AFC Championship and go to the Super Bowl. I'm going to do it again, Jay. I'm going to do it one more time. The Bengals beat the Chiefs to go to Super Bowl 56. The Cincinnati Bengals. Mike Brown was on the stage accepting the Lamar Hunt Trophy. Talk about your surreal moments, your surreal days, your surreal seasons. And it's very real now as the Bengals are going to L.A.
To quote one of my favorite calls of all time, it was a different sport, but I can't believe what I just saw. I can't believe what I just saw. I mean, not just that they're going to the Super Bowl. They were down 18. This ties the biggest comeback in championship game history. And they did it against a team that people don't come back on. People will get ahead of the Chiefs and watch the Chiefs come back on them. It's unreal the way this happened. And then when they lost the coin flip in overtime, you thought, here it goes. It's last Sunday night all over again with the Bills. Patrick Mahomes going to go right down, and then Von Bell gets the interception. Everything changes, and here we are talking about maybe one of the most surreal days of my life.
Yeah, and I think a lot of Bengals fans probably feel that way. I mean, even Joe Burrow after the game said, yeah, I mean, if you would have asked me before the season started if I thought we were going to be in the Super Bowl, I'd probably have told you you're crazy. And so as the season went on, that changed. But there is no doubt. I mean, this team has put something special together, and we saw so many of those special things about this team play out today. The resiliency they've had all season, playing to the end, the ability to get the big turnover, the big play, and in the most complicated, intense moments, Joe Burrow creating a sense of calm that everybody just knows that you're going to go down there and get it. I don't think there was any doubt in anyone's mind, the moment that ball gets picked off and Von Bell returns it, that it's over, that Burrow is going to finish him. And he did. And he, just like you would expect him to do it, and the celebration was on in Cincinnati, here in Kansas City, everybody rushing the field. They put up the stage, and there's Mike talking about how special it is, and people are going to be hoodaying all night long. And there's Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor, you know, kind of saying he kind of called it a special moment, that it's never going to be as special as this, because the first time, the first run when you proved you could do it, it's never going to be as special as this. And I think a lot of fans that are listening to this probably feel the same way. I mean, this feels like the start of something bigger and longer and special for certain. But I would agree there. I don't think it'll ever feel as special as today, and possibly in 2 weeks in Los Angeles. We talked about it this week. This is the toughest task to achieve in professional football. Coming into Kansas City and beating Patrick Mahomes and that team, fully stocked and healthy in their primes, is as tough as it gets. And this team came in here and did it. And it's surreal. We can start going through the games. in a couple of different ways, but there's only so many ways you can say that it was just a remarkable game by this team in finding a way. Like, they just seem – they have always seemed to find a way, whether it's Burrow, whether it's the defense figuring things out, whatever it is, all year they've just seemed to find a way. And never more so than today, they found a way down 18 with a defense that couldn't stop a thing to suddenly totally rattle and befuddle Patrick Mahomes. Remarkable stuff.
You're exactly right about it. It's never going to feel like this again. And trying not to use the analogy, never forget your first. But it is. I mean, they're there. They're in the Super Bowl this year. Next year, it's expected. They could win it this year, and if they go back next year, it's like, well, yeah, they're supposed to be here. They've got a young team with tons of talent. They got all the cap space in the world. They're expected. This is different. They were not expected to be here. They snapped that crazy long drought. They were down 18 to the powerhouse Chiefs. It was just the way that this one played out is it's never going to feel like this again. They could win four in a row. And like I said, it's going to be expected once you start stacking those together. And as far as surreal, yeah, Mike Brown holding the Lamar Hunt trophy is pretty surreal. Icky freaking Woods handing it to him. I mean, how does that work? Do they work that out ahead of time? Does he crash the field? And they're like, oh, yeah, get up here with your crazy big B necklace. And I mean, and for the longest time, they're all milling around on the field. And Icky's the only one standing on the stage. And it's like, what are we watching?
Yes, it really, really is. And, you know, and then on CBS, everybody's jumping up onto the stage. And Jermaine Pratt just grabbing the mic out of people's hands like he's cutting a wrestling promo. I mean, CJ Uzama hobbling around up there. You know, he comes out on crutches and, you know, just scenes everywhere. I mean, CJ, he prognosticated this at the very beginning of the year about what he wants it to look like, and he might get a chance to get Joe Burrow drunk as hell if they can win one more game now as they go to the Super Bowl. Let's talk specifically, though, about how this happened. And really, you know, we can sum up the first half in the fact that it looked like the Chiefs were unstoppable. I mean, it really. They were moving up and down the field. The Bengals had no answers. They were getting no pressure, and the Chiefs were going down to go score for a fourth time and go 4-for-4 in the first half. And they decided to take a chance with 5 seconds left to try to get a play in, and they threw it a swing pass, not into the end zone, to Tyreek Hill, and Eli Apple gets a stop, and the Bengals are down 11 at halftime instead of down 14 or worse. That was the play that swung the game, because then you go into halftime down 11 just like you were the first game against Kansas City. You feel a sense of momentum, and players talked about that over and over again. It felt like that was the moment of momentum and belief, and it was. I mean, it was the Chiefs being a little arrogant. I mean, that was an arrogant play call to think we're just going to go for it. Of course you're going to get it, and you're not even going to try to throw it in the end zone, not just take the points after a quick throw. It changed everything. And from that point forward, you know, the Bengals defense found itself and everything flipped.
Yeah, I mean, 9 times out of 10, I'll take Tyreek Hill in space one-on-one with Eli Apple, but it only takes that one time. And it was, you'd throw the ball in the end zone. And I don't know, it was kind of like that at the end of the game too, where Andy Reid is a great coach, but they mismanaged the end of the regulation too, where they were running the ball and running the clock out instead of just being aggressive. And there again, we see it. We saw it with Ryan Tannehill and the Titans last week, where teams are now afraid. They are giving Joe Burrow the Patrick Mahomes treatment. They don't want to give that guy the ball back with any time at all to do something special. And I'm glad Zach mentioned this, because I was like literally had my hand raised in the Zoom to ask if he flashed back to that Jacksonville game, because it was so similar, where it was a goal line stand. They are on the 1-yard line, and if they score a touchdown right before halftime, that game is over. I firmly believe, even though they came back from 18 and won this game, if they go into halftime down 18 with the Chiefs getting the ball first in the second half, I don't think we're sitting here talking about them going to the Super Bowl.
No, but they had to find a way to make a play in this opportunistic defense that somehow has become this turnover machine. You know, B.J. Hill, a guy, a role player who you traded for right before the season started, who turned Billy Price to, gets a tip interception that turns the tides, it turns into a touchdown. and a 2-point conversion play to Trent Taylor, of all people, Zach said after the game, it was the only play with Trent Taylor's name on it on his entire call sheet. And it's the only time we've seen Trent Taylor really hardly play. Yeah. So it's because it's something, it was a play they hadn't run. They just put it in about 3 weeks ago just for Trent because it was something that he had done a lot in the Shanahan-McVay offense, which is ironic we're talking about that. And it was really kind of special for his type of skill set to cut back against the grain. So sure enough, in a huge spot, they dial up Trent Taylor's number, and there it was, wide open, and they knew they had it, and they tied up the game with that. And, you know, Samaje Perine has a screen that he takes for a long touchdown. Jackson Carmen gets a big block that could have been a hold, but he was a big block in that play. You know, you just saw these role players coming up with big plays at every single turn. And then for the third straight playoff game, the final defensive play for the Cincinnati Bengals is an interception. The clincher against the Raiders, the one that set up Burrow to chase in Tennessee, and now Von Bell, courtesy of an assist from Jesse Bates that sets up the game winner here. This defense has found a way to make these big plays. Again, it goes back to finding a way. Those turnovers are how you beat Kansas City. I mean, that's it. You just won the turnover margin on that last play, and it ends up making the difference. And Patrick Mahomes doesn't drive down the field on the first drive of overtime. And instead, it goes the other way. Just this defense has felt disrespected, overlooked than they have been. They've been in the shadows of the stars on offense all year, and they kind of embrace that attitude. Overlooked no more. I mean, this is now another week where the defense saved them by putting on an incredible performance.
3 points in the second half in back-to-back games against the Chiefs. I mean, that is just unreal. And I know one of our colleagues at The Athletic labeled the loss to the Chiefs the win against the Chiefs in Week 17 a false loss for the Chiefs, that it was all the flags and the 6 first downs by penalty. There was nothing fluky about this one. This was that defense dominating. And you talk about the pick, Von Bell's pick to the last defensive play. We talked about it before this game that Eli Apple drops a pick right one play before, and we said that can't happen because he did it last week. He had a chance to make a huge play, and he dropped the pick, and they did. And one play later, they make up for it. There was a lot of stuff that they came back from and overcame, and it's kind of a gradual thing. That was an immediate turnaround to go from a drop pick where you're thinking, oh, that might have been the opportunity, and now here goes Patrick Mahomes. And then the very next play, Von Bell gets the tip. I think it was Jesse Bates.
Tipped it right to him.
And just unbelievable. This is the deep. We talk about the offense so much and how explosive they are, and they've got all the characters and the personality. And this defense has really kind of taken it back to that old school mindset that defense wins championships. 4 straight games forcing multiple turnovers.
You know, we talked about it. They're going to give Ja'Marr Chase a ton of attention, and they did. And offensively, they were clearly not going to let it be 266 for Chase again. And what happened? T. Higgins, 6 for 103. He had the 44-yarder. I mean, he caught underneath. He caught over the top. He was able to give those big plays. They got a couple of big screens going. The offensive line played pretty damn well.
Yeah.
Now, Burrow had a Houdini like he does, and some of them were some of his greatest Houdini acts. One, I thought that Chris Jones was going to rip the nameplate off of his back again. It looked like he was going to, and he still gets out of there. I mean, it was the Burrow Houdini act again. But for the most part, you get a offensive line that held up, that did a great job after a week of getting crushed and for the 9 sacks. And all you're hearing about is 9 sacks. And how are they possibly going to protect Joe Burrow? Well, it was just more of the same of them kind of stepping up when they had to. And it was not the disaster you thought it could be. And it was enough to let Burrow make the plays when he had to.
1 sack, 4 hits.
Yeah.
I mean, you go from 9-13 to 1-4. Yeah, that very underrated performance by the offensive line today. And the defensive line got zero pressure at all in the first half. And then they say, screw it. Instead of sending four, we're only going to send three. And they start getting to him, because that is the hardest thing. You talk, the hardest thing to do is beat the Chiefs at Arrowhead. To cover those receivers that long and plaster and have Trey Hendrickson and Sam Hubbard basically running a mile to chase down Patrick Mahomes over and over again and get to him, it was – I mean, hats off to Lou Anarumo. I know he has taken a lot of criticism in his first 2 years here. And the way they changed that game plan in the second half and held the Chiefs – it wasn't the offense keeping the ball out of the Chiefs' hands. They had – well, they have 7 second half possessions and over second half and overtime, and they got a field goal out of all of that.
Yeah, I mean it was incredible. And of course, is there any other way that this game would end other than Evan McPherson kicking yet another game winner? You know, he kicks 4 field goals again. He kicks a game winner again. He said he did not tell Brandon Allen, well, looks like someone's going to the Super Bowl, but he thought it this time. But he didn't actually say it before he went out there and kicked the game winner. But, you know, no shock there that it was McPherson to finish it off. And, you know, the confidence you have in your kicker, I mean, they're just running the ball at the end knowing that they're good, and they get a bunch of yards. Mixon helps finish it off to give them more yards, and that ends up being the game. And so the Bengals are going to the Super Bowl. We'll have plenty of time to talk matchups and all that stuff. And we're actually recording this as the other game is still going on. So we'll have 2 weeks to discuss matchups. This is about an appreciation of a team. I mean, look, these guys were 6-25-1. These guys hadn't won a playoff game in 31 years, and that was supposed to be the story. That was supposed to be what this year is about. It was about, oh, they won the playoff game, and man, they feel it. They're set up, and that was supposed to be the moment. I mean, what it takes to pull off this season, to pull off beating the Chiefs twice, to come into Arrowhead and beat Patrick Mahomes, it's special stuff, and it's stuff that no one will ever forget. And, you know, they have a unique group. And you got to go from the smallest scouting staff in the league and the mic cart without the no indoor and no facilities, right? And all the stuff that is like kind of out there about the Bengals. But they are the envy of the league. Mm-hmm. They have the quarterback. They have a coach who was everyone yelling, fire Zach Taylor forever. And he brought back one of the greatest chemistry jobs you will ever see. Certainly the greatest I've ever seen in covering this team. And helped develop, helped Joe Burrow get to that next level. And you can say all he did was put him out there. Well, maybe. But he cleared the path to let Joe Burrow become the great player that he is, you know, and start to build his legacy. And all of that, you know, it's so hard to do. I mean, there are, Von Bell said it this week, I mean, he has so many friends. You have people that never get to this level. But to do it with an upstart team that wasn't even supposed to be here in the first place, that's so hard to do. You have to do everything right. And from the off season to bringing Joe Burrow back from injury to the way they handled adversity during the year to evolving as a team at the end of the year and now to this moment, they did everything right. And there's not much else you can say other than just an incredible group and a special group that will be remembered forever by Bengals fans.
The votes were in by the end of the regular season, and they were only supposed to take into account the regular season. How ridiculous. I mean, Mike Vrabel wins Coach of the Year in the PFWA. I voted for Zach. How ridiculous is this going to look if they go win the Super Bowl and he is not Coach of the Year after 6-25-1? It's just – it's almost hard to fathom. And it's been a – just he's done the job. You mentioned the front office, this tiny scouting staff. Those guys, I imagine, are going to have some fun tonight. They also have a 5:45 a.m. flight to Mobile, Alabama tomorrow to start work on the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
That's how this organization – they grind, and no one's going to be sitting back kind of they're going to celebrate tonight, but they're not going to just ride the success of this game. It is, they're constantly moving forward, and as good as the offensive line was today, that is still going to be a major priority in this offseason. But right now, it's just it's so weird that we use the word surreal all the time that they're here, and it is. But we talked about when we were having dinner before lunch before the game, we talked about how it also just feels like any other game. Yeah. It just feels like you're just moving along and you're moving along, and holy crap, all of a sudden, here they are in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and it was kind of a cool moment right when the game ended. The scouting, a lot of the scouts were actually right down sitting near us, very close to us, and they all, you know, tears in their eyes and these embraces right when it ended. And, you know, try to imagine for a second the amount of work you put in and feel and to know what you did and helping to create, build this, you know, mm-hmm. build this thing, then watch it happen. And just the emotion of that, it was really cool to see right in that moment, those guys, you know, watching Evan's kick go through, because they were quiet and kind of just like you could sense the nerves throughout the game. And then that release, and it's just, you know, it's pretty unbelievable to see. Well, guys, girls, we're not going anywhere. The podcast rolls on, right? The fun continues as we will keep it going. We are traveling tomorrow and trying to work with doing Zooms and everything else, so there's no live room tomorrow. We will get to one this week, and we've got some big plans, obviously, leading up to the Super Bowl. Tons of stuff is going to be coming your way. We'll have the regular podcast on Tuesday up for you, so you'll have some time to recover, get through it all, and we'll be back for you on Tuesday doing our thing. So, well, from Arrowhead, where the Bengals won the AFC Championship and are headed to the Super Bowl, 27-24 in overtime. Go ahead and marinate on that for a minute. Talk to you next time. Have a good one, everybody.